I'm walking my ass and I'm an alcoholic. And I'm a member of the interaction group at the Freeway Club in Melbourne. And I love Alcoholics Anonymous. And I always have. Now, I drank for a lot of years the first time round. I drank, started drinking at 14 years of age, as soon as I got away from the parents. And I believe I drank in an alcoholic fashion right from the very start. But even so, in the first few years, I had a bit of fun out of booze. It enabled me to mix and do a lot of things. And I'm a bloke that should never have drank, I suppose, because alcoholism runs pretty deep on my father's side of the family. And I didn't know the gun was loaded. But anyhow, I drank for 22 years the first time round. I've always been a very lucky bloke in life. I had good opportunities in life. I had a reasonable good Christian upbringing. From a good average working class family. I was active in sport. I used to say I could eat a football, and Ronnie C. used to say, "Yeah, and you look as though you've eaten two or three of them." But sport was good to me too, but I always drank too much. But anyhow, to cut a long story short, I drank far too much for my own good or anyone else's good. And by the time I'd reached 30 years of age, through drinking booze on a daily basis, I was pretty well washed up. Not right washed up, but pretty well washed up. I drank my way out of a farming business by this, and I didn't like it. But I salvaged enough out of it, and I got a tip truck, and booze run that. And I was sober one day, and I had nothing to do, so I got married. And my family thought that might have been my salvation. But it wasn't. I couldn't even stay sober to get married. My family thought I wasn't going to make it to the church. The old woman often wished to God she hadn't made it to the church. And I set about making life hell for her and four daughters of hers by a previous marriage. And I knew I was hurting these people, and I didn't want to hurt them. I was doing things that were very foreign to me. But I couldn't do a thing about it because booze was running me life by this stage. And I drank my way out that trucking business. But around about that time, I must have got a bit pally with the old woman because I had a son of my own come along. And I professed I loved him. But many is the time he'd have went without, it would have been left to me. Joan and the girls kept him fed and clothed. And I graduated in my business. I drank my way out this trucking business and I was declared bankrupt. And I had an uncle, he had an old utility that he neither wanted to own or anything, and he gave it to me. It was like me. It was unregistered, unroadworthy, and unwanted. That's why I got it. And I went rabbit trapping up in the Mallee. Well, you can imagine rabbit trapping in weather like this up there. I'd become very unfriendly with water. I never even used to drink it unless I had whiskey to break it down with. And I never washed, I never shaved. I was a derelict in every facet of my life. And I'd come in from the rabbit traps covered in fleas and blood and God knows what, and sell me catch, and I'd get down to the pub and get half whacked and take a cargo of beer home and want to get into bed with the old woman, and she wouldn't have a bar of it, and I could never work her out. And that was it. I was gone. And after one of those episodes trapping, I came home in the same state again, and I stacked on a blue. Now, I don't know to what extent or anything like that, but I do know this, that Joan's youngest daughter had married young Fossum from Ballarat. He was brought up in an orphanage, and he'd fight like a bag full of cats. And he slipped into me and he'd give me a father to hide in, and I'm desperately trying to get a punch in and defend myself. And I thought it was Festival Hall. Joan and the girls are standing around clearing and chapping, they're clapping, saying, "Go on, give it to the big so-and-so." And he did. And I was going to get him locked up. And up got Big Jimmy Deller and his deputy. I never forgotten Big Jim. And he overlooked Possum. He locked me up. That was it. And looking at the world from my side of my eyes at that time, it was the end of the line. But as I see it now, it was to be the start of a wonderful new life. Because not long after that, a few days, a few weeks, I don't know, I lost track of time. My sponsoring to Alcoholics Anonymous, I like saying she or John walked in the wrong door of the loo because it reminds me of my sponsor. He was a shearer bloke, and he heard I was in trouble, and he come to see me. Now, I was broke, and I was dry, and Bill was financial, and he was drunk. And he tried to sell me AA, and he didn't sell it to me. But fortunately for me, he came back the next day, and I was still dry because I was still broke, and he was still drunk because he's still financial. But he took me into going in Mildura to my first meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous, and there I came to the turning point of my life. For the first time for many, many years, I was given the thing that should be given to everyone that comes to Alcoholics Anonymous, the hand of friendship and the message of hope. And I say that for a reason. Should be given to everyone. Unfortunately now, sometimes when you come to AA and you're beat up and bald and fat and on the wrong side of 50 like me, you don't get the attention that's quite often necessary. If you come in looking like Kathy or Barbara or someone like that, you get too much bloody attention. Sometimes it's misconstrued. But anyhow, I'd like to say I lived happily ever after. But I didn't. I've always loved Alcoholics Anonymous and I always will. Now I've got to look at me paunch to see I'm a glutton. And I wanted plenty of AA and I got a lot of it. I travelled a lot of miles, I met a lot of people. And Alcoholics Anonymous conditioned me to fit back into society. It was beautiful. Once again I became a useful being. I was a father, a husband, and I was useful around the town. You know, all in all, things were good. But 5 weeks short of 13 years, I was working in Launceston, and I picked up a drink this night. And it wasn't because of resentment or self-pity or anything. And I remember it went down like velvet. And after I had it, I thought, bloody hell, what have I done? And I thought, oh, well, 13 years sobriety down the drain. I'll finish tonight and I'll get back to AA tomorrow. And I've seen a lot of alcoholics perish over the years on those same words. And I didn't get back to AA tomorrow. That night at 2 o'clock in the morning when everyone had gone home, the host and hostess was still there and I was pestering them for more booze. So after 13 years sobriety I hadn't altered one bit. And I drank from Launceston to Melbourne, from Melbourne to North Queensland, round to construction camps, and back to where I hope I had was my last drink 10 years ago in the Champion Hotel in Fitzroy. And I'm back here via an Al-Anon lady, Nancy from Deer Park, and I love Nancy, and please don't misinterpret that because I'm happily married the second time. But I love Nancy, I possibly owe her my life. But this night, Nancy, I've always been a mad dancer. And I was at St Kilda Town Hall, Harold and Beryl would remember this. And Nance said, I'd love a cup of coffee, Bock. Will you buy me one? I said, yeah. So out I went and sat down and Nance talked and I listened and she talked and I listened and she talked and I listened. If you know Nance, that's the pattern you follow. But she said the right things at the right time to motivate me back to Alcoholics Anonymous. And I was back at the Spotswood group the next night. And I started to become a part of Alcoholics Anonymous again. And I feel it's very important to be a part of Alcoholics Anonymous. There's so much to be done in the field of alcoholism that it's just not funny. And unfortunately there's a lot of lazy people like me around AA. We pass the buck. We don't do the work that should be done. And I believe sometimes that we're far too anonymous. Now I'm still in the construction game. I love the people that I work with. And I'm never working with them for any length of time before they know that I'm a member of Alcoholics Anonymous. They say, you're coming down for, you go on a new job, and they say, you're coming down for a drink, Walk. I said, no thanks. And tomorrow night they say, you can have a drink? I said, no. They said, why? I said, I'm an alcoholic. I don't drink. I can't drink. And I spoil a lot of people's drinking too. But I enjoy it. But I love Alcoholics Anonymous. Alcoholics Anonymous gives me everything that I need in life today. And I'm pretty good round AA. I was sitting back listening to the spiritual concept meeting round AA. I've taught a lot of people to believe in God. They've only got to look at me and say, thank God I don't have to be like that. But I love Alcoholics Anonymous. To me, it is people, it was through people like you that I was able to identify myself as an alcoholic. It was through mixing with people like you that I was able to get physically sober. Dry drunk, call it whatever you like. Far better than being wet drunk. And once I could stay dry long enough and mix with people like you, I was able to do something about the ultimate that's offered to me in Alcoholics Anonymous through the 12 steps, and that is mental sobriety. I haven't got it yet, but I'm working on it. That's my story. I'm sticking to it, and thanks very much. See ya.